come this evening for a necessary exercise of faith to rehearse and remember the amazing love that God has for each one of us. And we do this by mentally, emotionally, spiritually recalling the torturous path that our Savior walked toward the cross on Golgotha. We do this through the inspired record of the Holy Scriptures that He has given us. We're further helped by the Holy Spirit who lives in us, makes it possible for us to believe and to understand the things in these words. We're further helped this evening by the Holy Supper, the sacrament, the bread that speaks of His body crucified for us, the cup of the new covenant in His blood poured out for us to make a complete atonement for our sins. When we break the bread and share the cup, we're confessing that Christ is our living bread, that Christ is the water of life, that Christ is the Passover lamb slain from the foundations of the world, a perfect Savior. The Lamb, the theme of the Lamb starts from the very beginning of the Scripture, when it was predicted in the garden that the seed of the woman would be in enmity and hostility against the seed of the serpent. And it was prophesied there that the serpent's offspring would have its head crushed, a fatal wound. But before he was done in, he would crush the heel of the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman who, through Abraham and Sarah, later Isaac, their offspring, on through history, David, the holy line, and finally Jesus. Holy seed and also the Lamb. The Old Testament sacrificial system began already implied in the garden of God. When Adam and Eve, our first parents, rebelled against Him and decided His word was not to be trusted and believed, though He'd given them every good thing. When they fell into rebellion, God sought them out in love and mercy. And those two who had never before been ashamed of their nakedness, their innocence, suddenly saw it now through the lens of fallen eyes, sin-stained sight. They found themselves ashamed, naked and ashamed. And God covered their nakedness by slaying animals and clothing them in the leather made from animal skins. So in that very beginning rescue, God covered the shame and the nakedness of our first parents, of the whole race, at the cost of life. And even there established the principle that Hebrews later says clearly in Hebrews 9:22 and following, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The whole sacrificial system picked up steam, developed, became more ritualized, more regulated. The temple sacrifices, the Passover. When God's people were enslaved in Egypt, had come under bondage to worldly and satanic rule, God had already promised to deliver them, and the night of their deliverance was commemorated by a lamb. Firstborn lamb, spotless, unblemished lamb, symbolizing the perfection that the final lamb would have. They sacrificed that lamb. They took its blood and smeared the blood on the posts, on the sides of the door, and on the lintel piece that went over. And some have noted that those positions connected already prefigure the cross of Christ. Be that as it may, the blood of the Lamb certainly prophetically speaks of Christ who was coming. They ate the Lamb, so it was both sacrifice, the Lamb was nourishment, its blood provided salvation, a covering that kept them from the destroying angel that was bringing judgment on all the godlessness of Egypt. They ate the Passover bread, unleavened, made in haste to remind them that this night they were going to flee for their lives. And they were going to make haste out of Egypt and the bondage of sin. At Jesus' birth, it should be no surprise then that among the very first to hear the announcement of his birth and his coming into the world, they were shepherds on the Judean hillside. Some have indicated that these may well have been the shepherds that were charged with keeping the Passover lambs held for sacrifice in Jerusalem. Again, as Jesus embarked on his public ministry and came down to Jordan, where his cousin John the Baptist was baptizing people for repentance and for forgiveness of sins, when John saw Jesus, he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Again, the final week of his life was Passover week. That was no lucky coincidence, no happenstance or serendipitous event. That was sovereignly timed by God, who holds all of our times in his hand. The crucifixion took place on Passover week, because before the foundation of the world, as we're told in Revelation 13, verse 8, Jesus was that Lamb of God, the perfectly righteous man who would be that final perfect sacrifice that would put an end to all the previous sacrifices, that would fulfill them all. None of the other sacrifices throughout all the centuries could bring about the forgiveness of sins. They were only reminders that we were sinners and that the punishment for sin is death. Only the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb, Son of Man, Son of God, in one person, only he could bring about the forgiveness once and for all. Let me read it from Hebrews 10 and just let the truth sink into your hearts and your minds as we think about the events of Passover and Christ's suffering. Hebrews 10, 1 through 8, the law and all the sacrifices with it and all the rituals is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here am I. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." And then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, that is Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. And then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. The Revelation, once again, the last book of the Bible, shows us the Lamb. But not the Lamb of sacrifice and slaughter. Oh, it's a reminder, and it's implied there, but this is the conquering Lamb, the Hagnus Dei, the conquering Lamb who still bears the wounds and the marks of his crucifixion, his sacrifice, but comes to take his rule, victorious over all his enemies. I read from Revelation 5, verse 6 and following. As the Spirit showed it to John, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard of the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb to be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the Lamb of God, ruling and reigning in power, held in the heavens, waiting to come back for us in victory. And he rules even now, meek and mild to mighty. He walked the path that led to the cross and to the heavens. From the very beginning to the end of God's word, he is the Lamb, making full atonement, not only for us, but sufficient for the whole world. I invite you now to just listen quietly and reflect as we hear the beautiful ballad by Ray Bolts telling of the Lamb, Jesus crucified for us.
Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. What will we see there? There's so much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. So many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. Then I told them. of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Then I heard the crowd cry out, crucify him. We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not wish to play. Cried for mercy. The people gave him none. The second one was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I still can hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, there's Jesus. I scarce believed my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross and falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled, I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Until a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, you! seen here. There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms. We turned and faced the cross. Then I said, dear children, watch the
Lamb. Watch the Lamb. We see him, we remember and believe as we handle and as we will taste and consume these elements tonight. The bread at that last Passover meal he had with his disciples. The cup symbolizing his blood shed for us. It was on the night that he was betrayed that he took the bread and he broke it. Said, this is my body, which is for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. Let's pray and give thanks. Heavenly Father, even as we've traced the steps that you walked, as we've seen visually, as we've heard the story again, Lord, we don't even have the strength or the depth of emotion to fully take it all in. Perhaps we even protect ourselves because of the immensity of what you did and how horribly you suffered on our behalf. If that would all come crashing in upon us, Lord, we'd be on our faces right now, weeping. Thank you for being the Lamb for us. And for doing for us what we in our sin and imperfection could never, ever do for ourselves. We thank you for your body. You are our nourishment. You are our Savior from judgment. And we give you thanks, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to follow with me in the first part of our service of the supper, the bread. If you would respond. In the ancient Passover celebration, the bread was unleavened because it was made and eaten in haste by a people fleeing for their lives. In the same way, this bread reminds us that we must run from sin and flee to God. Remember and believe that Jesus is the bread of life from whom we may eat and live forever. In the ancient Passover celebration, an unblemished lamb was sacrificed by each household. It was prepared and eaten. Its blood was applied to the doorposts and the lintel of each household. Remember and believe that Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, was crucified during the Passover, and his blood is over us as a sign to God. Under his blood, we are safe from the judgment. Under his blood, we are cleansed from our sin. Under his blood, we are forgiven forever. The night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance and believe. As the bread is being passed, I'd call the elders to come at this time. Turn in your hymnals to number 308. And while the bread's being distributed, let's sing all the verses and then hold your peace so we can share together. The supper is for all who love the Lord and have received him as their Savior. Thank you. His glory is in. When Christ the great Redeemer died for us, drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can. Brothers and sisters, take the cup, drink it all, remember and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has washed all our sins away. We remember, we believe, we will never forget. Heavenly Father, we thank you for having richly fed and nourished our faith, for strengthening our spirits with grace, and for giving us the right through Jesus Christ to feed at this table. May we go in the strength of this bread and this cup through all our lives. Always keep us remembering. Always keep us believing. Let us never forget. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, let's stand for. And I didn't put the number on that. That's number 311 in your hymnals. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And all God's people say, Amen.